Let us pray. Holy Spirit, who hovered over the waters at creation's birth, who descended in the form of a dove at the baptism of Jesus, who was poured out under the signs of fire and wind at Pentecost, come to us. Come to us now, open our hearts and minds so that we can hear your word and be renewed by your power. For you live and reign with the Creator and the Son, now and forevermore. Amen. The first reading this morning comes from the book of Exodus, chapter 19, verses 1 through 15. The promises of God for all the people of God. On the third new moon, after the Israelites had gone out of the land of Egypt, on that very day, they came into the wilderness of Sinai. They had journeyed from Rephidim, entered the wilderness of Sinai, and camped in the wilderness. Israel camped there in front of the mountain. Then Moses went up to God. The Lord called to him from the mountain and said, "Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob and tell the Israelites, 'You have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now therefore, if you obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession out of all the peoples. Indeed, the whole earth is mine, but you shall be for me a priestly kingdom, a holy nation.' These are the words that you shall speak to the Israelites." So Moses came, summoned the elders of the people, and set before them all these words that the Lord had commanded him. The people all answered as one, "Everything that the Lord has spoken we will do." Moses reported the words of the people to the Lord. Then the Lord said to Moses, "I'm going to come to you in a dense cloud, in order that the people may hear when I speak with you, and trust you ever after." When Moses had told the words of the people to the Lord said to Moses, "Go to the people, consecrate them today and tomorrow. Have them wash their clothes and prepare for the third day, because on the third day the Lord will come down upon Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people. You shall set limits for the people all around, saying, 'Be careful not to go up to the mountain or to touch the edge of it. Anyone who touches the mountain shall be put to death. No hand shall touch them, but they shall be stoned or shot with arrows. Whether animal or human being, they shall not live. When the trumpet sounds a long blast, they may go up to the mountain.'" So Moses went down from the mountain to the people. He consecrated the people, and they washed their clothes. And Moses said to the people, "Prepare for the third day." Holy wisdom, holy word.
Our second lesson comes to us from the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, beginning with the 18th verse. We hear in this text an allusion to the Exodus text just read. Verse 18, here again, the word of God. "You have not come to something that can be touched, a blazing fire and darkness and gloom, and a tempest, and the sound of a trumpet, and a voice whose words made the hearers beg that not another word be spoken to them. They could not endure the order that was given, 'If even an animal touches the mountain, it shall be stoned to death.' Indeed, so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, 'I tremble with fear.' But you have come to Mount Zion, into the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, into innumerable angels in festal gathering, into the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel." See that you do not refuse the one who is speaking. For if they did not escape when they refused the one who warned them on earth, how much less will we escape if we reject the one who warns from heaven? At that time, his voice shook the earth, but now he has promised, yet once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heaven. This phrase, yet once more, indicates the removal of what is shaken, that is, created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we're receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, may remain. Therefore, since we're receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us give thanks by which we offer to God an acceptable worship with reverence and awe, for indeed our God is a consuming fire. Holy wisdom, holy word. When I was a child, my parents would drive me through the mountains of Pennsylvania. We'd be on the turnpike or Interstate 76, whatever it might be, and we'd be up, way up. And you could look into the valleys and see the lights coming on one by one. And those lights told you that what you could see, the blue of the mountains, the descending of the sun and the bright glow in the west, what you could actually see was far less than everything that was there. That hidden from sight, from the line of my focus, was an entirely different world. Physicist David Bohm speaks of the explicate order and the implicate order. The explicate order is the order of those things that we see around us, what we might call ordinary things. There's a poem by Pat Schneider who speaks of the patience of ordinary things. It is a kind of love, is it not, how the cup holds the tea? How the chair stands sturdy and foursquare, how the floor receives the bottoms of shoes or toes, how soles of feet know where they're supposed to be. I've been thinking about the patience of ordinary things, how clothes wait respectfully in closets and soap dries quietly in the dish and towels drink the wet from the skin of the back and the lovely repetition of stairs. And what is more generous than a window? You and I live in the explicate order, according to David Bohm. We live in the midst of ordinary things. But he goes on to say that when we dig beneath the surface, there is something far greater going on, much larger, much more complex. What is called by him the implicate order. It is what we cannot see, which happens, which allows the physical universe as we see it to come forward. But the physical universe, which is filled with contradictions and paradox and things that simply cannot be explained, all find a unity in that deep and implicate order. Speaking of that order, Stephen Hawking said that he did not believe he would ever come up with a theory of everything. Nothing that we could ever test, nothing we would ever know for sure, that behind all of it was a larger reality that we are too limited to ever access. And yet it's very, very, very much there. But it is invisible to us. The writer of Hebrews takes us back to the children of Israel who come out of Egypt and they come to Mount Sinai and they witness spectacular events with their own eyes. It seems that God has come to land on the mountaintop and they're terrified. But then the writer says something much greater has happened that we cannot see. something far deeper, far more complex. It is the heavenly Jerusalem. It is the angels in festal garb. It is the righteous, the saints of Christ's church who have gone before us, the martyrs and the witnesses. They all gather. And why are they all gathering? They gather in the room today, very close, to summon us. To summon us to our baptisms. To summon us, finally, to die with Christ that Christ might live in us. For those of you who have not been here, we've been through a sermon series talking about a man named Hermann Hesse. And in the last sermon of that series, in dramatic word and beautiful dance, we saw Hermann Hesse disappear into the servant leader, Leo. And we looked at the fact, the image of that disappearance as being something about us, that we are to die with Christ again, that He might be raised in us and live through us. Today, we are to decide. Today, without smoke, without fire, with, well, just a brief word from the trumpet, today we are beckoned. We are summoned by that huge, implicate order that we cannot see, that we cannot hear, and yet has made us available here and now. We are being summoned by it to give our lives more fully to Jesus Christ. And in fact, in a few moments, we will be reminded of our baptisms. The baptisms made by our parents, perhaps the baptism vows made by ourselves. We're being summoned to give our lives on a more profound basis than we've ever given before to Christ. Most of us are Velcro. Life sticks to us. And we waddle around burdened because we are Velcro. We are, in Christ, invited to become Teflon. That life flies by us and slides through us because ultimately none of it matters other than Christ in us. Christ's love and justice and mercy and faith in us. Nothing else matters. This morning we recognize that we are dust, that we shall return to dust, that dust is the reality physically of our lives. But there's a larger order of Christ waiting to be born again in us.